Good morning. Today really is a good morning. And I know there's a song that says, you know, like, do you guys know this song? What are you saying? You're thinking about it. All days are good. When we are in worship, we give thanks to God because every day is good. But today is even, like, it's a special day. Pastor David said it, it's Confirmation Sunday. That's a big deal. So happy Confirmation Sunday. Now, what is confirmation? What are we confirming? We're confirming that we're in worship. No, we're here confirming affirmations of faith by 9 of our students. Now, why do we do confirmation? It's actually something we do need to address. Not everyone understands it. In the United Methodist Church, we baptize infants. And because consent is a big deal, we ask them when they are old enough to understand the decision that their parents made, if they would like to participate, if they would like to continue on that journey. And so today, we have 9 students who have been through the confirmation classes and are going to choose today to make affirmations of faith. They are claiming their baptism and being baptized. I'm not going to lie, nothing makes me happier than that right now. That's amazing. You should know that. People are celebrating you right now. We're in church, so everyone's kind of reserved. But friends, this is a big deal. This is awesome. You guys have made it this far. Something special is happening, and they're going to be a part of it as well. They don't know it yet, but they are. Friends, confirmation is a broadening of our family. It's a milestone, if you will. It marks a significant point in people's lives. And as a congregation, it marks a significant point in our lives as the church. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for being able to participate with us on this Confirmation Sunday, because it is truly a special day. Now, confirmation is also important because, you see, there's a huge emphasis on having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is what we actually ask the confirmands. We're asking them at the end of this, like, do you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? But here's the thing. We also know that we exist as a community. We exist as the church. It is a wonderful thing to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, I would say it's probably the best decision an individual can make. But what we know is that our Christian experience is not lived out as individuals, but as a family, as a community, as a church. And so today, while people are making personal connections, we are also making family connections. We as a church today are being reminded that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We are reminded that we are a community, that we are the church. And that is a special, special thing. We sometimes forget, but not today. Our passage of scripture today comes out of the book of John. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Palm Sunday. We talked about the triumphal entry, Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. We're still in John because of the way we're working through the New Testament. But on Palm Sunday, Jesus came into Jerusalem. If you had an experience with us on Maundy Thursday, the Thursday before Easter, we talked about Jesus celebrating the Passover, preparing for the Passover with the disciples. It says that he sat down at a meal, that he washed the disciples' feet, which was a very unique scenario. And afterwards, he said to them, he said, "You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but I give you this commandment to love one another as I have loved you." It's an important moment because our scripture today, and the reason I'm telling you this, is it's immediately after that moment. It's immediately after the Maundy Thursday moment. We're reading today from the book of John, chapter 14. Jesus has just left that. And this is going to be his farewell discourse. This is the moment where he is starting to prepare the disciples for what is going to happen next. So our scripture today lands right between Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. We are before the cross in our reading, and I want you to know that. Because what Jesus is going to say is powerful, and it's a little bit confusing, but we're going to work through it together because we're on this journey together. So our reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. Jesus is going to talk to us about the Spirit. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Valid question. Jesus answered them, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise and let us be on our way. It's a lot of scripture, by the way. I know that. I could hear some of you being very patient with me. This is significant. Before Jesus goes to the cross, he knows what's going to happen. He knows that the disciples don't know what's going to happen. He's told them, but they don't quite get it. He knows that their world is going to change in a way that they can't even begin to imagine. They've been with Jesus for several years now, right? And they're used to having him around. They just ate dinner with him. Jesus knows that he's not going to be able to eat dinner with them anymore. Jesus knows that this change is going to happen, and Jesus takes some of his last moments and starts preparing the disciples for what is to come. He tells them, you do not understand, but you will. The world will not see me, but you will. And he starts talking about the Spirit. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. The word advocate in the Greek, I'm going to actually double check it because I don't want to mess up the wording. Paraclete. That's going to be on a test later. Confirmands, I told you there would be no tests. I was lying to you. The reason I'm telling you this word is because I don't want you just to hear Holy Spirit and write it off, because we talk about the Holy Spirit all the time. This word that Jesus is using had significant meaning to the people that he was telling this to. Hebrew people, this word paraclete might have meant angel, it might have been prophet, it might have meant someone who is in the very presence of God but is on your side, your advocate there. The Greeks would have heard this, they would have thought of counselor, someone who gives advice, someone who teaches, they might have heard someone who consoles. When we say the Holy Spirit, when we say the advocate, these words, friends, we're not just talking about one thing. We're talking about the very presence of God that guides us, that continues to be with us in spite of the fact that we don't fully understand what's going on there. The disciples were about to lose Jesus. Bodily. They were about to lose their rabbi. They could not understand what was coming next. But Jesus, before this even happens, tells them, the advocate is coming. The counselor will be with you. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. All of us should be able to relate to that. All of us have felt orphaned at some point or another. All of us have felt abandoned. Jesus' words to the disciples before his death were, I will not leave you orphaned. My presence will be with you. He doesn't say things won't change. But he does say that in the midst of that change, I will be with you. Now, some of you have heard this lesson before. We talk about the Holy Spirit. Some of you have heard me say personally, there is nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. I say that in Sunday school, I say that when I preach, and I'm going to keep saying it until the day I die. Do you know why? It's the same reason we teach every kindergarten class to share, because we hope in some small way that they will become adults who share. But here's the thing, we all know that we're still working on that, right? Lessons are good when they are repeated, they are needed. Friends, you need to hear today that God is with you. Confirmands. God has been with you on this journey. God was with you if you were baptized with as an infant. God was with you before you were baptized. God has always been with you and always will be. Those of you who are not in the confirmation class, God has always been with you. I hope you hear that today. I know it's repetitive. It's supposed to be. God is with you. The very Spirit of God is with you in your lives right now. Has always been, always will be. It says forever in Scripture. Did you catch that part? The Advocate who will be with you forever. It goes on to say, in you forever. And yet Jesus still was put on a cross. Jesus still died. And it changed things. Jesus kept trying to tell the disciples, like, yes, I will be with you when I am gone. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come back to you. But he also says these words. He says, like, you should rejoice that I am going back to the Father. You should rejoice that I am going back to the Father. I don't know how I feel about that. I know the disciples had no context for that in this moment. But you better believe after the resurrection, when they found that tomb empty, this story started making a little more sense. You see, I'm telling you this, my confirmands, because you guys are starting a journey today. You think that you're done. You're not done. This is not an ending point for you. This is a continuing point. This is the beginning of your journey. You have joined a relay. Those of you who are here supporting confirmands, those of you who are here worshiping with us today, you guys aren't at a stopping point either. You guys woke up today. Today is a day where your journey is continuing. God is still with you. God will always be with you. And the interesting thing is that you are going to encounter hard times. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that the disciples were going to struggle with this. But he also knew that what he was doing was a completion of the work. You see, Jesus spent his entire life, his entire ministry on earth, pointing at God in a world where people were looking down and trying to figure out what was going on. Jesus was lifting their heads up. He was saying, no, this is where we're going. The kingdom of heaven is coming. Glory to God. He praised God and showed other people what it meant to be loved by God. And here's the thing. When Jesus died, the disciples thought it was over. The disciples thought they would never see Jesus again. They didn't understand what was going on. If we're really honest with ourselves, if there was ever a moment for God to end the relationship, that would have been it, right? At that moment, God could have walked away justifiably and been like, no, absolutely not. I've done everything I can. But friends, the journey continues. The tomb was empty. Jesus is risen. The resurrection happened, and in that moment, we understood the fulfillment of God's love for us, which is that no matter what you do, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. The Holy Spirit is with you always, forever. Things are going to be hard. You're going to have hard days. People ask me all the time, where is God? God is always with you. When you're suffering, God is suffering with you. When you're happy, God is happy with you. When you are in need, God is with you. A lot of times you won't see that till you get past some things, but you'll look back, and if you pay attention, you'll notice that God is there. Today I'm testifying to you what Jesus is talking about. The Holy Spirit is with you. God has never abandoned you. God will never abandon you. So what does this mean for our confirmants? What does it mean for us as a church? We got the basics covered. God is always with us. But what does that mean? The Spirit is with us. Jesus says the Spirit will be there. He'll be your advocate. But it also says that the Spirit will teach you all things. It says that the Spirit will remind you of the things that Jesus has done. There's a reason we are able to, 2,000 years after the death of Jesus, that we are able to have a relationship, that we're able to worship here, that we're able to continue these stories. It's because the Holy Spirit is still working. The Holy Spirit is still reminding. Friends, you guys are, each and every one of you, called to do something amazing in this world. Not just the confirmands, everyone, but you guys need to hear this today. We have a very short couple weeks that we get to talk together. It's not long enough. You guys are each and every one of you called, and you might not feel equipped. I'm going to share something with you. Some my confirmands and the other youth, most of the time they know, like, I love memes. My mom used to say a phrase. She used to tell me, Dan, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Have you heard that before? God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. See, the Holy Spirit is actively trying to qualify you. I have a meme that I want to show you. The Holy Spirit is going to take you in some interesting places. And there are going to be moments like that. Like, I've been that kid. That kid is not enjoying that ride. That kid may have wet his pants. There are going to be moments in your life where the Holy Spirit is going to encourage you to be different, is going to encourage you to change, encourage you to grow, and it's going to feel like a roller coaster ride. But if you notice, the kid's grabbing onto the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit's grabbing onto the kid. The Holy Spirit's never going to let you go. God is never going to lead you a place where God is not already. Second thing for my confirmands, you guys are being actively called. How do we do that? What do we do? David actually said it. One of the things we do to grow in our faith is to read Scripture. But our passage today says that, you know, those who love Jesus do as Jesus commanded. Jesus just gave us the command to love one another. Friends, today, if you get nothing else out of this service, I hope you will understand the value of love within the Christian community. And I'm not talking the billboard, Jesus loves you. You've all seen that? I'm not talking that. Jesus does love you, but it's more than that. A lot of times when we say Jesus loves you, we get like warm fuzzies. I'm not talking about that. You see, Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much that he was willing to die to show you that love. Love is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. I guarantee it. It is the very single hardest thing, but Jesus' words today tell us something. They say that when you participate, when you love, when you do as I have commanded you, you will find that you are closer to God and you are closer to each other. We exist as a community because of our love for God and our love for one another. It's never easy. Confirmants, people may give you advice when they leave here. Loving is hard. People in this building we're not always good at loving one another, but we sure try. Continue to grow in love. Continue to love God and to love others. And remember, you're on your way. Jesus also said, "My peace I give to you." This is a fun one. This one bugs me. You see, when I think of peace, I think of nonviolence. I think of peace and harmony. I think of no conflict anywhere. That was not Jesus's life, though. In fact, Jesus says, "My peace I leave to you," but he says, "I do not leave you peace like the world." Like, it's not like the world. It's my peace. You see, Jesus spent his entire time pointing people towards God, but when Jesus went back to God and the Holy Spirit came with us, we inherited that story. As Christians, we are now the bearers of that story. We are the storytellers. We are the ones who point towards Jesus and God. And I will tell you this, loving is hard, following Jesus is hard, but with the Spirit, friends, you are going to grow, you are going to develop, you are going to change, and it is going to be worth it in spite of the hard times. God does not promise that your life will be easy. In fact, probably quite the opposite. But what God does say is that you will find no greater joy than when you follow me. It is worth it. My wife said something to me once, and I'm going to end with this because we have some important business to do. My wife said, we never stop belonging to one another. The Holy Spirit is with us. We are not in this alone. We are together. We are connected. In a couple months, I'm going to be moving, but I'm not far from you. And I'm not talking about geography. Friends, we are bound together by our stories. We are bound together by our memories, but more importantly, we are bound together by the Holy Spirit. No matter where you go, you are connected to God, and we all are. And friends, if you really start to look at that, you will find that we are connected in ways that we can't even imagine. When we celebrate communion, we gather with all the saints, all who have been, all who will be, all gathered on this earth. We are together. And as you guys join the church today, we are going to celebrate mightily because you have chosen to be a part of a family that not only wants you, but needs you. Everyone around you, brothers and sisters in Christ, they will teach you things. You will teach them things too. Never forget that. And never forget that no matter what happens, no matter what life brings your way, that God will be with you every moment. The same power that rose Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in you through the Holy Spirit. You are mighty children of God. Friends, you are all mighty children of God, and we are in a family together. Amen.